It's time to dive into the latest news and updates from the Vegas Golden Knights. This is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
It was a weekend of wins for the VGK in round two of the Stanley Cup playoffs as we welcome you in on a Monday to Nighttime at Noon. Stormy Bonantoni and Gary Lawless with you here on Fox Sports Las Vegas. The Golden Knights took game three against the Canucks on Saturday in a 3-0 shutout win and completed the back-to-back with Vancouver Sunday with a come-from-behind 5-3 victory. Gary, a 3-1 lead now in the series and a win away from advancing to the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, and that's a real good win for the Golden Knights, I thought, for a couple of reasons. Lead changes, they didn't quit. They went into the third trailing. Markstrom had been very good for two periods. There were three penalties called against the Golden Knights that I think you could call questionable. The Marchessault, the high-sticking penalty, it wasn't his stick, it was Edler's. The interference call on Stevenson, Tyler Motte actually skates into the path of Stevenson and stops, and it sort of sets a pick on Stevenson, and then he falls over. It should have been interference on him. And then I guess you could quibble about the call on Marchessault for goaltender interference. The point isn't that the refereeing was bad, and bad's not the right word for it. Well, they're not going to be perfect. They're going to miss stuff. And you have to deal with that. You have to fight through it. You can't quit. And they did. So I just thought that was a game that certainly the Canucks could have won and made the series 2-2. I think Vegas really, you know, they made a decision in between the second and third that they were going to ramp it up a little bit. They were able to do that. And for Vancouver now, you're in a situation where you got to beat Vegas three times in a row. And that's going to be a tough task for the Canucks.
Well, we'll reflect a little bit more on this game, but first, Pete DeBoer spoke on his thoughts of what he called a strange game and how everything developed last night.
Yeah, you know, it was a strange game. I really liked our start. I thought we could have had a few more in the first 20 minutes. I thought Markstrom made some big saves. And then, you know, in the second period, we took some penalties again, like last night. Got on our heels, lost some momentum, stopped doing some of the things we were doing that made us successful early. You know, so we talked at the end of the second about just getting back to our game, staying out of the box and getting more direct and stopping at the net. And, you know, when we play that way, we can put a lot of pressure on teams. And we got rewarded for simplifying our game again in the third.
And coming into this game, the Golden Knights had killed 18 of their last 19 penalties and then obviously given up a pair of power play goals this game. But that's kind of, I feel, at least personally, that's more of what I expected from Vancouver early on because they were such a good team at drawing penalties and capitalizing on the power play.
Yeah, there's no way you're going to hold Pettersson off the board forever on the power play. He's one of the best power play players in the NHL. Quinn Hughes has quickly developed into a real good quarterback back there. That's they live and die on that, on Markstrom and a high save percentage and taking advantage of power play situations. 5-on-5, they haven't had a sniff. Like, Vegas has dominated in that area. And actually, if you look at the numbers in this series, the shot totals, the shot metrics, Vegas is destroying Vancouver in a lot of those areas. So, look, I think Vancouver's got some really nice pieces, going to be an excellent team in the future. They could certainly still win this series, but from my perspective, a lot more depth on the Vegas roster. And you just look, I believe the point totals now, the bottom six for Vegas have produced 10 points in this series. The bottom six for Vancouver, zero.
Wow. Yeah, that's a very telling stat.
Big storyline right there.
Well, and we heard Pete DeBoer talk about depth. Almost every player that's gone to the podium has talked about depth. Last night, we saw Marc-Andre Fleury in net instead of Robin Lehner, showing that you have that depth just at the goalie position. John Merrill comes in instead of Nick Holden. Fresh bodies, how important was that for the VGK?
Well, Markstrom going into last night and actually still has been the busiest goalie in the playoffs. He'd faced 457 shots going into last night's game. Robin Lehner had faced 33% less than him. Marc-Andre Fleury had only faced, you know, not even 100. So that, I think, just a massive advantage for Vegas. And, you know, the Markstrom gives up that goal to Nate Schmidt. And whether mentally he sagged or physically, if it was fatigue, mental fatigue, physical fatigue, who knows? But he just wasn't the same goalie the rest of the game. And that flurry came out after two periods. And, you know, he admitted after the game last night that there was some rust in the first two periods. He came out in the third and was perfect, really battled in the third. And I think there's a couple of things there. Number one, he's fresh. Number two, that was victory 81 for him, which is sixth on the all-time list. You know, Marc-Andre Fleury has been in situations where he's trailing going into a third period in the playoffs and gotten the win a number of times. And I think he really was able to draw on that experience last night and have, you know, I thought Markstrom outdueled Fleury for the first 40, and for the last 20, Fleury outdueled Markstrom. And that the goalies always say, well, I'm not competing against the guy at the other end. Yeah, you are. You have to be. If that guy's better than you, his team has a better chance to win. And Fleury was better than Markstrom in the third by a long shot.
For Marc-Andre Fleury, I know that he doesn't care about like rising up these lists or anything like that, but what, in your perspective, just in the grand scheme of things, does it mean to see the way that he has climbed to, as you said, sixth all-time now in postseason wins, eclipsing now Ken Dryden, who is obviously a great Hall of Fame goalie?
Yeah, you know, it may not mean anything to him tonight or today. It will someday, you know, and he is, he will go to the Hall of Fame. This is a guy that you know, top 10 all time in a whole bunch of categories. So good for him. He's had a fantastic career, and three Stanley Cups is very nice. Four would be even nicer.
I did want to talk a little bit more with you just about the depth, because it seemed like last night in the third period when the VGK were able to rally with a 3-goal third to eventually win at 5-3, that the Canucks kind of looked like they were out of gas a little bit. And I look at the sheet, Vancouver's Elias Pettersson, JT Miller, and Bo Horvat all surpassed 20 minutes of ice time on Sunday. Meanwhile, you've got Riley Smith, who led all of the VGK forwards in ice time with just over 17 minutes. Paul Stastny next at 16. So just what does that mean for the VGK being able to roll those lines and have that depth?
Yeah, it's a huge advantage for Pete DeBoer, where, you know, he knows, number one, his third line is, you know, maybe one of the most dangerous lines in the Stanley Cup playoffs right now. So you got to get them out on the ice. And then when Stevenson scored last night, you know, now all of a sudden your fourth line is chipping in as well. So, you know, I just, that stat we talked about earlier, all the offense coming from the bottom six for Vegas is, if you're Travis Green, what do? You know, you just, you know, you're double shifting Tyler Myers. You're trying to keep Quinn Hughes away from certain people, and it's kind of pick your poison. If Hughes isn't out there against Carlson and Stone and Pacioretty, then you've got to have him out against the Statsy, Marchessault, Smith line. And if you want to avoid that, then I think Alex Tuck, Nick Waugh, and Nick Cousins, I think they've been really dominant against Hughes and whoever he's been partnered with. So all problems.
It seems like for the Golden Knights against Quinn Hughes, it's been kind of hit and miss at times. Have you sensed that a little bit?
Well, he's had a couple of moments where he's been offensively pretty good, but I don't think he's had a good series. No, I think Vegas has given him a lot of trouble. He's really good on the offensive blue line. Or, you know, if he can get the puck cleanly out of his zone, he can do some good things. Vegas has made him play beneath his own goal line, and he's not a very good player back there. Not yet. He'll become one. He isn't yet. Not that's an issue for him. There's a number of times where, you know, Nick Waugh would just sort of stick his arm out, or Riley Smith would stick his arm out and just shield him away from the puck and be able to skate below the net and cut out to the crease, and that's a problem.
Well, overall, Gary, this has been kind of a weird series. We've seen two games where Vegas has been extremely dominant, one where Vancouver obviously dominated play, and then this the first time that it was a much more competitive game, and we did see the first lead changes of the series, a couple of them.
Yeah, well, Vancouver knew last night, you know, they say there's, you know, there's no must-win game until you're facing elimination. Well, they needed to win last night if they wanted to make this a series, and now they're in big trouble, right? It's they're a bad goal or a late penalty or whatever away from being eliminated. So I thought I gave Vancouver full marks. I thought they really came to play and did a lot of good things for 40 minutes, but in the end, you know, Vegas is, I think they're out shooting teams like 18-5, something like that now in the third period. They put their foot on the gas in the third, and Vancouver didn't have an answer.
How different have the Golden Knights been in the third period this postseason?
Well, I think it's, you know, I think other teams are more competitive early on, and then has Vegas's advantage in fitness and conditioning takes over.
Does that still carry over from the pause now? I feel like you don't think everybody's up to conditioning shape at this point.
It's been a month.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think Vegas really, they built a base, and then like it continues though, because in a game when you have that balance, that depth, and you're able to, you know, you get to the third period and everybody's played, you know, a pretty good number of minutes and nobody's really redlining, then and the other team is already in a position where their bench has been shorter from right from the very start. That factors in to that conditioning and that freshness as well.
Yeah, a really telling stat for me, from kind of showing how this is a bit of its own season in a way. During the regular season, the Golden Knights had, I want to say it was 28 games where they had been trailing after two periods, and they only came back to win four of them. In five games this postseason where they've been in that situation, they've won three now.
Yeah, well, it's... You have to kind of really like the buttons that Pete DeBoer is pushing. I think he's done a great job. He seems to pick the right goalie every night. You know, they've only got two losses in that regard. And despite not playing in 2 weeks, I thought Marc-Andre Fleury was just excellent last night. So I think Vegas is a good team. I think that they are playing to their strengths.
All right, fans, make sure that you join other Golden Knights fans around the world with VGK Worldwide, the official global fan club of the Vegas Golden Knights. Become a premium member by visiting VGKWorldwide.com and purchasing your kit today. Premium members receive access to exclusive merchandise, exciting contests, and specialized content. Don't miss the opportunity to be a part of painting the globe gold. Me and Gary will be back in just a little bit, and we'll talk a little bit more about Marc-Andre Fleury.
We're back to Nighttime at Noon on your home for the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Las Vegas.
John Merrill there with White Cloud. Puck around behind. It's a wraparound save. Fleury. Rebound is loose. Battling glove save. Oh, my goodness. Elias Pettersson stoned by Fleury at point-blank range. How did he do that?
How did he do that? That's Dan Duva on the call with a great glove save from Marc-Andre Fleury on Elias Pettersson to keep the game tied at 2 last night as the VGK defeat the Vancouver Canucks in game 4, 5-3. Stormy Bonantoni and Gary Lawless with you here on Nighttime at Noon. Fleury ultimately winning the netminder duel last night with Vancouver's Jacob Markstrom. And Gary, we talked about Marc-Andre Fleury already in the first segment, but did you expect that it would be Flower who started last night, and what did you think of him in his performance?
I did expect it to be him, and you know, I kind of thought, much like Flower said, that there was a little bit of rust for the first 40, but you know, I was watching him come out of the tunnel for the third period and thought, what are we going to see here? And I just thought he really battled in the third period, and and took his game to another level and held the fort when it was really necessary and let his offense do its job. And none of that happens if Fleury doesn't make some of the big saves he made in the third period. And that's the difference in the game. Fleury was better in the third period than Jacob Markstrom. Simple as that.
It was the first game for Marc-Andre Fleury in 14 days. And let's hear from him now on how he settled in.
Yeah, I felt those 2 weeks in early in the game. I think, I don't know, a little jiggery, a little moving a little too much and stuff. But by the second, I had a few more shots and started feeling better. And by the third, I thought, you know, it was back to normal. And but also my teammates, you know, played very well in the third, so it made my job easier there too.
Well, it'll be interesting to see if Pete DeBoer can avoid Marc-Andre Fleury going another 2 weeks without a start, because that's too long. You just heard it. And there was a slight element of gamble in this for Pete DeBoer. Leonard had been really good the night before. And, you know, someone would argue, how the heck did you know what you were going to get from Fleury? He hadn't played in 2 weeks. So now I think that the other side of that coin is that, well, he's Marc-Andre Fleury. He's a future Hall of Famer. I knew he was going to be great. And he was in the end. So, I don't think he was great for the first 40, but he was great in the third. And I think that there's, you know, maybe a little bit of a lesson moment there for Pete DeBoer. That's not the right way to phrase it. But, you know, maybe big picture, he looks back and goes, yeah, maybe if I could avoid such a long gap between starts, that'd be a good thing.
Considering, though, that Marc-Andre Fleury is typically a player who does play better the more he plays, were you just maybe that much more impressed a little bit with the way that he was able to hold on at the end of this game and close things out the way that he did?
Yeah, that, you know...
Or no, because you're just like, Marc-Andre Fleury should be Marc-Andre Fleury.
Well, he's 16 times in his career, he's had starts with... 4 days or more in between, and his save percentage is .912 on those occasions, which is actually a point higher than his career save percentage. So, I think he, you know, takes really good care of himself, is such a competitive guy in practice. Like, that gets him in trouble when he's playing a ton. Like, yeah, you know, you have to get him to slow down a little bit in practice. So, I was a little concerned for him going into this one, but didn't think, I thought he'd find a way, and he did. And I think his teammates, they bought into that as well.
That's exactly kind of where I was going to go next. Nate Schmidt talked after the game just about how Marc-Andre Fleury is, he's so impactful in that dress room, whether he's starting on the ice or whether he's not, and they really wanted to be able to support him more as well in the third period. They were able to do that with the big three goals.
Yeah, well, Nate had a pretty good game, actually, and one of his best so far in the playoffs. And, I think this... I'll be honest with you. I don't buy into the, hey, this guy's playing, we got to play better for him. I think this team wants to win the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
And if you are playing net tonight or tomorrow night, or I was, they'd want to win.
They don't want that. They don't want you or me in the net. I can tell you that, though.
No, I think that they want one of the two guys they have.
No, of course.
Leonard or Fleury.
Of course.
But I just this team is on a mission. They've got a goal, and it doesn't boil down to what role anybody plays in it. It boils down to winning, and that's it. And Max Pacioretty talked a lot about that last night, that there's a different hero every night. And sure enough, you know, Chandler Stephenson hadn't scored in the series. I don't think Schmidt had scored in the series, and you get big goals from them. And then William Karlsson, who I thought had been really good in so many areas, but hadn't found a way to score, he gets on the board last night, and I think that was huge.
Well, I'm going to talk to you about Carly, but I wanted to go the Nate Schmidt route first,
right,
if we could.
Sure.
The production from the blue line offensively has been great. Nate Schmidt's goal marked the seventh in the last 12 games by VGK Blue Liners, 6 points from VGK D last night. How big are those contributions for the team right now to know that they're getting scoring not only from everywhere in their forward depth, but from those 60 as well?
Well, Shea Theodore has been the best defenseman offensively left in the playoffs. You know, Miro Heiskanen over in Dallas has been very good, but I think Shea's, his numbers and the shots that are generated when he's on the ice, I just think that he's been fantastic. And you heard, you know, Mark Stone said last night, this is a Norris Trophy conversation guy now, and I happen to agree with that. You know, some really good candidates this year, but I think Shea suffers a little bit from playing on the West Coast, and a lot of the games starting after a lot of people, a lot of fans have gone to bed, and they don't realize what kind of a player he is. Well, the longer this goes for Vegas, the more eyes that will be open when it comes to Shea Theodore. And, you know, when Theodore and Martinez are playing the way they are, that just opens up, you know, opportunities for everybody else. Because, again, you know, if you're Travis Green, you got to pick matchups. And Theodore is so dangerous, you know, you want to have certain guys out there on the ice to prevent him from running loose. And then I think that opens up ice for other guys. You mentioned Schmidt, but also Zach Whitecloud. Yeah. You know, I think that he's benefited from that as well. And then it gives both ways, because again, if those guys are going good, now you know that puts pressure on more people for the opposition. And maybe they start to double shift certain guys. And I think they were trying to do that with Tyler Myers last night, to spot him against a lot of people. And I think that wears players out, and they won't have that opportunity in game five, because the Golden Knights will have last change.
Well, in case any of you guys at home or on the road listening missed Mark Stone's comments last night on the D and Shea Theodore, here it is right from his mouth.
I think our defense is a six-man unit. I think Shea Theodore is obviously turning into a Norris caliber defenseman. He makes big plays for us offensively, and Nate contributes a big play for us, and they're transporting the puck. I've reiterated this a lot. They're transporting the puck for us to control our speed. We're not playing a slow game. Our D are making crisp plays, breaking out the puck well, and that leads to our transition. And no matter whether it's, you know, Shea Theodore or Zach Whitecloud, the fourth man's jumping in the rush, and that's kind of why I think you see our defense getting rewarded. They're pushing the pace just as much as we are.
Yeah, the defense definitely being rewarded there. But now I'll give you the opportunity to talk about that top line, because Mark Stone, Max Pacioretty, and William Karlsson really were able to come alive in game four.
Yeah, well, Mark Stone, I think he's over a point a game throughout the playoffs. And Pete DeBoer talked about it after game three. He thought that both Karlsson and Pacioretty were really good in that game, and maybe didn't get rewarded as much as you would like them to be offensively. And then they both pop off on the score sheet last night, and that's, I think, really good for I think it's more important for Max. Max needs to score for his game to be, you know, where he personally needs it to be to feel good about himself. I think William can go out and defend and do a whole bunch of great things, and obviously he'd like to score, but if he doesn't, I still think, he'll be happy with his game. And he said that after the game last night. Dan and I interviewed him, and we asked him about scoring, and he said, well, you know, I think I've been playing pretty well. And he has been. He's been, again, these are guys that, you know, people go, oh, he scored 43 in the first year, and then he didn't score that many the next 2 years. The goals are part of his game, but everything else he does, if you're watching right now, you're kind of saying to yourself, this is a really good two-way center. And, yeah, you'd like him to, you know, to score 30 or 40 every year, but I think it's all the other stuff that he does that's just as important.
Yeah, he facilitates. He does work away from the puck. He does all these different things. And you just mentioned the importance of Max. He had the eventual game winner last night. He got the goal scoring started on the power play. And I was just curious your thoughts on seeing him on his strong side. He's usually playing the power play on the off wing, but Mark Stone was over there and Max Pacioretty was able to score from the strong side.
Yeah, just while he was kind of back deep. And it was interesting to see Stone, he came down the right side of the ice and then wheeled back. And, you know, that's Stone kind of has those eyes in the back of his head. And he knew that Max was going to be back there and was going to have an opportunity. And anytime you can give the puck to Pacioretty and give him a lane to shoot, you have a chance to score. And so it's always a good idea. Those two just, it's really funny because... You know, when they played, when Mark was in Ottawa and Max was in Montreal, they don't
hated each other's
guts. They don't make any bones about it. There was no love lost there. And, it's just sometimes there's a partnership that goes. And I think that, you know, we see that with Riley Smith and William Karlsson when they're killing penalties. And I think we're seeing that develop between Nick Waugh and Alex Tuck. They've got a little magic between themselves as well.
Yeah, they're all looking good. And guys, you can look good too if you go shopping at the exclusive 2020 Vegas Golden Knights playoff gear at the Vegas Golden Knights team stores. You can get that at the official team store locations, the Armory and T-Mobile Arena, the Arsenal at City National Arena, or VegasTeamStore.com today. So you can look good, feel good, just like the Golden Knights are playing good. When
we're
going
to have
back...
to call you Segway Stormy. Like, that was, wow.
I gotta get out of here. When we come back, we will take a look around the league because the Vegas Golden Knights are not the only team that are looking to send another team packing.
Live from City National Arena, this is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Welcome back to Nighttime at Noon. Stormy Bonantoni and Gary Lawless here at City National Arena talking all things VGK. And guys, there is no better way to enjoy a VGK game day than with some Foley Family Wines. Bill and Carol Foley created the Foley Food and Wine Society to celebrate three of their greatest passions: world-class wines, exceptional cuisine, and outstanding travel destinations. As a member of the society, you'll have access to an entire portfolio of properties around the globe. The Foley Food and Wine Society offers an exclusive opportunity to join like-minded individuals who seek to experience the finer things in life. Join for free today by visiting foleyfoodandwinesociety.com. And you enjoy the finer things, don't you, Gary?
Sometimes. Yes. I enjoy Foley Family Wine, that's for sure. Actually, I had a really cool trip this spring. Got to go up to just north of Santa Barbara and got to go to Foley Johnson, Lynn Court. It was really cool.
That's awesome.
Lynn Court's the first winery that Bill Foley ever bought. It's named after his daughters, Lindsay and Courtney. Really cool.
That's
fun,
awesome.
Fun visit.
I'm a big Chalk Hill fan.
Well, we got to go to Chalk Hill on the father's trip this winter, and that was a lot of fun.
That was like the highlight of my year.
Was it really?
I think that was one of my favorite road trips.
Yeah.
Like in any sport I've ever covered, doing anything, that was just one of the best things I've ever been a part of. It was a blast.
Were you on the right bus on the way home?
Yes, of course.
Oh, yeah.
I was
okay.
On the fun bus.
The fun bus. It was. The fun bus was. We can share this with the listeners.
Sure.
We took two buses from San Jose up to Sonoma, where some of Bill Foley's properties are. And on the one bus, it was just us media folks, the communications team. And then on the other bus, it was all the players and all their fathers. Well, on the way home after touring three wineries and having a long dinner and a whole bunch of fun, some of the players decided that they were going to jump onto our bus. We made an impromptu stop at a 7-Eleven, and a bunch of beer appeared on the bus. And it was Dan Duva was the first star. He got we had this little speaker that we use usually at the back of the bus, and it's, you know, we play some music back there, but it's not loud enough to be at the front of the bus and entertain 40 people that are hooting and hollering. So Dan had to play it on his phone and hold the speaker right beside his phone, and that kind of increased the volume, and Nick Holden was.
I was going to say, you got to give Nick Holden some major props.
Star. He was second star. He was.
He was our DJ.
No, Shane Knighty was the DJ. Nick and his dad, though, their air guitar stuff was was tremendous, and that was a pretty good trip for sure.
Yeah, a lot of good stories came out of that one for sure. The Golden Knights trying to create a good story this postseason for sure, taking their series lead against the Vancouver. Vancouver Canucks now 3-1, and every series going on right now is in that same situation. Two of those elimination games will be tonight. The Tampa Bay Lightning with a chance now to wrap it up and send the Boston Bruins packing puck drop for that game at 5:00 Pacific time. Also tonight, the second half of a back-to-back for Dallas and Colorado at 6:45 Pacific with a chance to clinch the first spot in the Western Conference Finals. Dallas taking that advantage after a back and forth win last night, taking it 5-4, and Dallas keeps scoring. Like, we can't take this as a surprise anymore, right? Like, it's trending at this point what Dallas is doing.
Yeah, for sure. They've got really offensive players, and I think Rick Bowness has sort of opened things up a little bit for them, giving them a little bit more opportunity to play offensively. And listen, every series could end. All series could be over by Tuesday. And I would imagine the NHL will move things up. And
as soon as, like, let's say that everything were able to put a bow on things tomorrow. Yeah, yeah. Would you think they would start playing as soon as Thursday?
Thursday or Friday. And I think Friday maybe a little more realistically. But, like, you know, there's no travel. Why not Thursday? And that, you know, the NHL, they just had the COVID tests returned again today, just put out their release, another week of absolutely, nothing positive coming back. All the tests are negative, but you know, they want to finish this. And, the longer they're in the bubble, you know, the law of diminishing returns, you know, the more opportunity for, you know, something to happen, and they really want to avoid that, and have just done such a fantastic job. So, yeah, listen, Friday for sure, but potentially Thursday for sure.
Interesting. Well, since obviously the Golden Knights are playing in the Western Conference, I'd like to get some more of your thoughts, though, on that Dallas-Colorado series.
Goaltending is, you know, that's the difference there. The Stars have Bishop and Hudobin, that's a really good, a legit number one. They're a 1A, 1B, and everyone liked to sort of say that Colorado was in the same position. But once Grubauer got hurt and they had to put Francois in, he just hasn't got the job done. And you know, he gets yanked. They had Michael Hutchinson finish the game for them yesterday. So that's not a good situation. And we'll see if Francois can bounce back. But, you know, I also think that the Avalanche just haven't been they haven't been themselves. They haven't played. I think they have to be really aggressive and play on their toes, and that gives them a better opportunity to win. I think Nathan MacKinnon, I wouldn't be surprised if you got a superhuman effort out of him today. But, the Stars, there's a whole bunch of pieces there that are, you know, that's what has to happen. You got to get on a roll. You got to have confidence. You've got to have health, and everybody has to sort of play at their highest level. And they got a bunch of guys doing that right now.
Do you think if there was a series of the four that are going on right now, that if there was a team that was going to come back, it could potentially be Colorado of the teams that you're seeing?
Well, I guess so. Yeah, sure. You know, that's, they were favored, right? And now all of a sudden they're down and facing an elimination situation. So, yeah, I guess you know,
just spitballing. I'm just trying to think.
Yeah, well, Vancouver could do it too, right?
Yeah.
It's you know, it's 3-1 is a lot different than 3-0. Teams come back from 3-1. So Pete DeBoer's San Jose Sharks turned a 3-1 deficit into a trip to the second round last year against the Golden Knights. So 3-1 is not a sure thing.
Okay, well, not playing today, but the New York Islanders now own a 3-1 series lead as well over the Flyers. Here is the voice of the Islanders, Chris King, with his final call of the night yesterday.
7 seconds to go. Islanders trying to get it out. Still in the left wing corner. Philly jabbing away with five. Islanders push it to the near side corner. The horn sounds, and the New York Islanders hang on! They beat the Philadelphia Flyers 3-2 in game four and take a commanding 3-1 lead in this second round playoff series.
Tinger getting a little squeaky there. Series isn't over, man.
He's excited.
Very excited.
He's excited.
Yes, yes,
but
yes.
As he said, a 3-2 win for the Islanders. Gary, the Flyers finished they came out of the pause. They finished the regular season as one of the hottest teams in the league. They come out of the pause, play excellent in the round robin, earn that first seed, and then Montreal gave them some problems. They were able to take that series, and the Islanders really are dominating the series right now.
Claude Giroux hasn't scored in like 26 playoff games, something like that. That's, you know, you need it. Listen, I love the way the Islanders play, and they, when they get a chance, when they've gotten a chance in this series, they have taken advantage of it. I'm not sure about Alain Vigneault's decision to go with Brian Elliott instead of Carter Hart. I might have rolled the dice with Hart. He's a young guy, you know. They haven't played that much hockey.
He's got the energy.
Well, I haven't played that much hockey yet, you know. Like, yeah, I'm not sure about that decision. And, you know, Elaine's won Coach of the Year, and he's one of the very best. So I know what he would tell me if he was sitting here. Wouldn't be very nice. I traveled the bus with AV. He was coach of the Manitoba Moose when I was the reporter covering that team, and great coach to be around. Didn't mind using the company credit card to buy a good bottle of red wine every once in a while.
This segment's all about wine.
Well, yeah, it is. It is. It is. Yes, for sure. So one of the best dressers, too, in the National Hockey League.
Okay.
Yes. Speaking of good dressers, we're going to talk about new coach of the Henderson Silver Knights.
Yes, so that's what I was going to get to next segment, if
all
that's
right,
all right
okay.
with you.
All right, sure.
I liked that you said the Islanders, you like the way that they play, because I feel like they get a bad rap for not being the most exciting team, but have they proven that wrong at this point?
Yeah, you know, I'm a Barry Trotz guy, and Barry has, you know, his teams do play careful defensively, but, you know, you got to score to win, and he's won a whole bunch of hockey games, and certainly the Washington Capitals didn't play boring hockey when they beat the Vegas Golden Knights in the Stanley Cup Final under Barry. So I have known Barry a long time. He's a Manitoba guy and has done a great job wherever he's been. I think guys really like playing for him because he's straight up and he's fair. He does hold you to he does make you accountable, but they've got some really exciting players. And, you know, Matthew Barzal, I think people mistakenly, they compare him to Johnny Gaudreau. They're both small, but Barzal doesn't play small for me. He's hard on the puck. He's hard to take the puck away from when he gets it. He's really strong on it, and just a really exciting player. And I love they've got the pairing going of Pellick and Pulock right now. I think that they're really underrated. They're one of the best. They do it all. They can shut you down. Pulock's got a bomb of a shot. They can create some offense. Real good pairing.
Yeah, the Islanders certainly have looked really strong. And while the Flyers obviously not having the series that they had hoped for at this point, I did just want to make sure that we recognized such a cool moment for Philadelphia still yesterday, being able to see Oscar Lindblom take to the ice for warmups with the team. He was diagnosed earlier in the regular season with Ewing sarcoma, a very rare form of bone cancer, and, you know, got to ring the bell at the hospital that he was able to beat this diagnosis right now and was able to take the ice and warmups. A pretty cool moment.
Yeah, well, hopefully it's all good for ahead for Oscar. You know, hopefully he's got this thing licked, and I know the Flyers and actually the people of Philadelphia, they've been really supportive of him. And, I think everyone in the hockey world is pulling for Oscar and hoping that he can get back and get into some action.
Yeah, love seeing the support for Oscar. Gary kind of stole the thunder on this one, but when we come back...
The press release went out an hour ago.
Stop! We'll talk all
can't
about...
Can't believe you waited to the last segment of the show.
Well, I was going to preview it in the first segment, but then I got talking to you, and then you got talking. And then, anyways, the Henderson Silver Knights have announced the first coach in their franchise history. We will talk all about that when we come back on Nighttime at Noon.
We're back to Nighttime at Noon on your home for the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Nighttime at Noon. I know we can't be at T-Mobile Arena right now to enjoy postseason hockey, but you can bring the spirit of the fortress home with you during the 2020 Stanley Cup playoffs with an official watch party kit. Support your Golden Knights with custom battle towels, noisemakers, temporary tattoos, and so much more. Purchase your kit today at the Arsenal or VegasTeamStore.com. And this is not just a Vegas Golden Knights program, but it's the Knights in general. And today, some big news for the AHL's Henderson Silver Knights, announcing the hiring of Manny Viveros. Stormy Bonantoni and Gary Lawless here breaking it all down for you. Gary, the first head coach in franchise history announced today for the HSK.
Yeah, Manny, a guy who's coached in a lot of places, an assistant coach with Edmonton in the National Hockey League, really sort of the last couple of years, he's been with Spokane in the Western Hockey League. That's a league that Kelly McCrimmon knows better than anyone else. I can say that confidently. No one knows the Western Hockey League as well as Kelly McCrimmon. And Bobby Lowe's, who is a chief amateur scout for the Golden Knights, would have watched Manny's teams play quite a bit. Vaughn Carpen probably saw them play, and they would have determined that they liked the way his teams play. He's a positive guy. He's got high energy. My friends at Edmonton that worked with him when he was with the Oilers say he's got a top end wardrobe. So the job here.
So
is,
now I understand that transition a little bit more when you were talking about Alain Vigneault, because I wasn't really getting it. So now I do. He's a top-end wardrobe guy.
I would have expected you to have done your homework on that and to have known that, Stormy.
I'm sorry.
You should be.
Well, it's maybe just because I'm not stylish. I'm a scrub. Shane Knighty reminds me all the time.
When you want to get dressed, get dressed well, you can.
What a doll.
Yes. doesn't happen very often, but on game nights for sure. The job here will be to develop the prospects for the Golden Knights, and he's going to get to do it right here in the backyard of the Golden Knights, playing in Henderson when the new arena is ready. So a big step for this organization to acquire the American Hockey League franchise, and now to start to populate it with good people to hopefully continue to build a real good pipeline for players to the NHL.
How much more attractive does that make a job, knowing that the AHL franchise is in such close proximity to the NHL team?
Well, I guess it depends on how you look at it. You might not want your GM breathing over your shoulder, watching you practice and coming to your games all the time. But I think if you're good at your job, it's a big bonus. You know, and also Henderson is... you're going to live in the Las Vegas area. It's a fantastic place to be in the wintertime for hockey people. And the Golden Knights have done everything right so far in terms of the hockey process and, building this facility. And I'm sure that the Henderson Events Center is going to be tremendous as well. And, it'll be exciting to hear all the other hirings that they make and reveal in the coming weeks.
Yeah, really exciting stuff going on with the Henderson Silver Knights right now. We'll hear from Kelly McCrimmon and the new bench boss for the HSK, Manny Viveros, with their introductory media availability this afternoon via Zoom. Viveros is also expected to come on the VGK Insider Show right here on Fox Sports Las Vegas later on this afternoon, so make sure you keep it locked right here. And for the Golden Knights, Gary, Game 5 tomorrow at 6:45 Pacific Time, a chance for the Golden Knights to advance to the Western Conference Final with a win for the second time in the last 3 years. Just initial thoughts, keys for you on a big game tomorrow.
Yeah, well, it's a chance to play for a trophy, right? Like, it's you get to become the, you know, the Final Four, and you know, in the East they play for the Wales, and in the West they play for the Campbell Trophy, and it's really a cool opportunity, and then you're getting even closer to the Stanley Cup, and I think you know, you don't want that to be, I think you want to live in that moment and realize what you're trying to achieve and how close you are, because that should be motivation for you. It shouldn't be pressure. It should be motivation. We are one step closer to what we're trying to achieve. Like last night's win got them into single digits, only 9 victories left in order to claim the Stanley Cup. And another win, you get to 8, and it's only 2 series left. So I don't think you're looking ahead when you realize those things. I think it's the reality of the situation, and you have to, I think you should revel in it. Let's put ourselves in a position to try and become champions. And I love that. And then if you just want to get into hockey specifics, stay out of the penalty box. Like at 5-on-5, this really isn't much of a series. Vegas has been superior in those situations. And the only time that Vancouver has really got a chance is when they've been, you know, put on the power play and able to convert.
And Pete DeBoer talked earlier today just about the challenge that any elimination game presents for this club.
Well, of course you want to finish series off as quickly as possible. You know, the rest is a huge advantage, but you know how you approach it is, we know we're going to get their best game, and you know, we're going to have to earn it. This team didn't get to this point and hasn't played us as hard as they have just to go away quietly. So we know that, and for me, you know, this is an opportunity to close out a team and move in to the Final Four. It seems like yesterday we started with 24 teams here, so it's a fantastic opportunity for us that we've earned to get to this spot. And you know, now we have to make sure we keep that mindset that the last one's always the toughest.
Yeah, the last one's always the toughest. And Gary, as you know, Vancouver has been good when backed up against the wall. They have been able to respond.
Yeah, there is a theory, though, that, you know, when you're facing this daunting of a task, you know, beating Vegas 3 straight, you know, you and especially in this really strange season where, you know, you guys haven't seen their families in quite a while and have been in that bubble, the will of the team that's got their back against the wall, you want to test it, because you get a couple early and then they can kind of start to envision packing their bags, getting out of that hotel room and walking to the airport and getting on a plane to back to Vancouver. That's, you want to plant that seed as early as you can, because I think that'll wear on a guy for sure.
Well, I like that you said earlier that it's not pressure, it's motivation. This team came in here with a goal and they have a chance to take that next step tomorrow.
I don't believe the Golden Knights, I don't think pressure enters the equation at all with this group.
Well, that's the music telling us that it's our time to get the heck out of here. But again, make sure that you watch that game tomorrow, Game 5 between the Vegas Golden Knights and Vancouver Canucks, a chance for the VGK to advance to the Western Conference Finals for the second time in the last 3 years.
You don't have to just watch it. You could listen to it right here.
Oh, my gosh. I'm the worst. You can listen to it right here.
Dan Duva and myself will be we'll be calling the game. Dan will be calling it, and I'll be helping out. And Ryan Wallace,
yes.
Pre-intermission and post.
I'm the worst. I'm fired. Thank you for everybody for listening. Thank you to Jared Justice and Garrett Calloway for helping put this thing together. That is it for Gary Lawless and Stormy Bonantoni this week on Nighttime at Noon.